Invite you to be seated. So like I said, these next 7 weeks, actually 6 weeks after today, we are going to really be focusing in on the words of Jesus, those red letters, and that's why the book is called the Red Letter Challenge, and it's based on Jesus' words and those times that he is giving us direction on how to live as a disciple. And the way the book is kind of designed, it's laid out, so there's first 5 days, which, you know, you'll start today, day one, is kind of an overview of the rest of the book, the rest of the 5 weeks. And there's 5 different marks of a disciple that we'll be focused on here. And I got them up on the screen for you, that we will be talking about in the next upcoming weeks here. The first one being, before anything else, the importance of being with Jesus. Taking that time to read his word with our children, with our spouse, by ourselves, with our grandchildren. And then just being with Jesus. We're being with Jesus right now. The next one is forgiving. Jesus talks a lot about how we are to forgive our neighbor, our brothers and sisters when they sin against us. Third one, serving. A disciple of Jesus serves others. Four, giving. A disciple gives of his time, his talents, and his treasures. And then finally, going. Going out. The last command that Jesus gives before he ascends into heaven is go and tell everybody this good news and baptize them. And so that's what the focus is going to be here for a few weeks. And all of this stuff is conveniently written in our Bibles. Isn't that convenient? And since we are going to focus on these red letters, let's take a look at the first one that'll get us kicked off here. And it's in the book of Matthew. Megan told it to the kids just a little bit ago. We've all heard it, but let's just take a look here. I'll read it. It's up on the screen for you to follow along. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Of course, these are all Jesus' words here. And what's interesting here is this is the end of Jesus' famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. So if you ever want to read the whole sermon, it's in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Jesus gives this amazing sermon where he has lots of teachings on lots of things. And he ends it this way, telling us to listen and do. Not just hear it, but to hear it and do it. Verse 24 again. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them. So sometimes it can be confusing when we hear these words of Jesus. It seems like we have to do something here. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, but that's the wrong kind of attitude to have, that we have to do something that may, you know, get us closer to God and make us a better person. But the point of these is not that. Doing Jesus' words. He has already taken care of the salvation for us. And the important thing to remember here is that the good news is that we are not on our own when we hear the words of Jesus. We're not on our own. It's not up to us and our human brains to fully comprehend and understand every single thing that is in God's word. We have the Holy Spirit who's working in us. When the word is read, When you read the word, when you hear the word, the Holy Spirit is working and is guiding and directing you to do these words. So it's a wonderful gift that we have the Holy Spirit who creates that faith in us, who helps our faith continue to grow the more that we're in His word. When you're in church and you hear the word, when we partake of Holy Communion, the Holy Spirit uses all of that to strengthen our faith. And so you're not on your own when Jesus says, whoever hears these words and does them. Because I know personally, if I had to depend on my human brain, I'd be in big trouble. Maybe you're smarter than me, but I think we'd all be in trouble if we did not have the help. And so once the Holy Spirit does His thing within us, at the next point, we get to do what we hear. Notice it's not have. We get to do what we hear. The Holy Spirit working in us, guiding and directing us, we get to show the love of Jesus in our words and our actions when we are out and about in our daily lives. And Jesus makes it extremely clear in this parable of only four verses, there are two ways of going about being a disciple of Jesus. We can hear and listen to God's word all the live long day and do nothing with it, or we can hear and listen to God's word and do what His words say to do. There's two choices here, two options. And so the important thing here is the key to understanding this parable is the two foundations that Jesus talks about. So, you know, after high school, I worked construction for 7 years. So I was on a framing crew, and we later did like exterior siding. We did interior trim stuff. We built decks and all these things. And one, there's a couple things I learned besides all the different skills needed for that. One thing I learned is that when you get back from lunch and your crewmates are laughing, something's up when you're the youngest one on the crew. Now, I learned the hard way not to leave your tool belt unattended during lunch. One time I came back and they had nailed it to the subflooring of the house. Couldn't get it up. I had to work to pry it up. Another time, I got my tool belt on only to find a dead snake in my nail pouch. So that's one thing I learned. The other thing I learned is how important the foundation of building a house is. And if that's off, if it's screwed up in some way, all that other stuff, the framing of the house, the exterior siding, the interior trim is all going to be screwed up if the foundation is screwed up. The foundation is very, very key. And so Jesus talks about two different types of foundations here. Building on the rock or building on the sand. The foolish man builds on the sand like we saw here with Megan's demonstration. And the wise man built his house on the rock. So in Matthew chapter 7, right before Jesus tells this parable, He talks about and warns us and His followers about false prophets and those false teachings that are out there in our world today. And this is really what the sand is. The sand is the foundation that this world wants us to build on. It's the security of having enough money in the bank to know you'll be okay no matter what kind of trouble may come. Putting our trust and security in that is building on sand. It's believing that it's okay that our number one priority is our relationships or our marriage or our kids and their activities. This kind of thought process is building on the sand. It's taking comfort in the fact that we have what it takes to make it through whatever comes our way. that we don't need help. This is building on the sand. It's believing that my marriage and family are fine. It's not that big of a deal if we don't read our Bible, we don't read His Word together as a family or by myself or serve together or take time to be with Jesus. It's not that big of a deal, right? If we really don't do that, Jesus is going to forgive us anyway. This is building on sand. It's believing that I'm a good person and I'm better than most people in this world, so I'm doing okay. I deserve good things in life. I deserve to be blessed by God. This kind of thought process is building your house on sand. All of this may seem like a fine foundation, you know, putting our trust and our comfort in our jobs or our money or our homes or our bank accounts or whatever. It may be fine at first, but when a rainy season hits, and the troubles and the problems of this sin-filled world that we live in come and hit our house, is it going to stand? What happens to the foundation? When you get laid off and money is scarce and that foundation is washed away, what do we do? When a fight happens and your marriage may not survive, and that foundation is washed away, what then? When those you love are the ones who hurt you the most, what do you do when the winds and the storms come and wash that foundation away? Because we're building our house on the wrong things. But there is another foundation that Jesus talks about here. And the good news about this foundation is the foundation has already been laid. You see, we don't have to do anything to lay this foundation. It's already there. That other foundation that we sometimes are tempted to build on is weak. But this one, we don't have to do anything for. It's already been laid. And of course, that one firm foundation is Christ the rock. And Jesus is even called that in Scripture. This is the foundation to build our houses on. So I have a couple verses here, if you don't believe me, from God's Word. You know, I love to talk about how the Bible is all connected by Christ the rock, the crimson thread. Psalm 127, verse 1. It's on the screen. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Very clear. The Lord's the one that builds the foundation. He's the one that laid it. There's nothing we can do. God did it. The next one is from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. And I wanted to read to you the first verse. I only have verse 20, but 19 says this. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. See, it's all about Jesus. Should really come as no surprise, but it's one of the coolest things I get to do is continually remind you about this is all about Jesus. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the foundation. Next verse from 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. This is the foundation that Jesus is talking about in this parable in Matthew chapter 7 at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Build your house on this foundation, on Him. And you're not going to go wrong. I have a picture up here that I wanted to share with you. So when I first, you know, became your senior pastor, I was asked to come up with a strategic plan and give it to the board, and then I presented it to the congregation. And I kind of had in my head a vision of what I wanted to do, and I didn't know how to, I'm not a good artist or drawer. So my daughter Hope, I told her she's good at this, and she drew something for me. And you might not be able to see it very well, but what this is at the very bottom, it's a church. At the top, this is Promise. And on Promise, underneath Promise, there's four pillars. The different things we do here at Promise, you know, worship, discipleship, ministry, outreach, fellowship. Those are the different pillars underneath our church. And what those pillars are on, if you can see that, it's God's word down there on the foundation. And the cornerstone is Jesus. And this encapsulated perfectly what I had in my mind and what Promise is going to be all about. And you notice, of course, from Jesus, that red thread, the crimson thread, going all through the different things we do here at the church, and then it filters up through the church all the way to the top where there's a cross. Isn't that an awesome picture, by the way? And this is what we're all about here, Promise. We're about building our foundation. We not only worry about our foundations, we don't worry. We don't only work on our foundations in our homes, we work at it as a church here at Promise. We're building on the foundation of God's word that Jesus Christ is his cornerstone. And if you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Let's pray.